I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Yep, that's what we do every single day here on Virgin Most Powerful. We rain on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're 10-8. We're on duty. We're partying for duty, sir.
Terry, amen, brother. This is Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and my partner, Jesse. He's the Latin
and
lover.
And our program, by the way, in case you're wondering, it's never been right versus left,
nope.
Right versus wrong.
You got it, partner.
And this is where the Catholic faith and culture intersect. And as Catholics, we just want to speak the truth, or as we say, clarity with charity, or as St. Paul says, speak the truth in love. Terry?
Jesse, that's the bottom line, what we do every day. We want to inspire you. At the end of the show yesterday, we're going to start doing this now. We're going to give you the five stones of the solution in protecting our faith and promoting their faith each day here. So this isn't just about pointing out errors. We give solutions. And Jesse, talk about solutions. What about the Word of God? We just celebrated St. Jerome, who said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So let's read about the feast
and
day.
Today we're celebrating St. Therese of the Child Jesus.
One of I have to say
or
my
Saint
favorite
Therese
saint.
Of the Sioux.
Yep, she's my favorite saint, Jess. So let's get into the gospel for Matthew today.
Well, today's gospel in honor of her feast day is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4.
Yep.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called the child over, placed it in their midst, and said, amen, I say to you. And by the way, every time Jesus says Christ says amen, I
listen
say
up.
To you. That means, yeah, he's gonna teach something important about salvation.
You got it.
So every time he prefaces this, amen, I say to you, he's about to tell you how to get to heaven. Yep. So you probably want to listen up. Amen, I say to you, unless you turn, that's the word metanoia, and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself, by the way, the greatest virtue, humility, that's called Marian spirituality, okay? If you want Marian spirituality, there it is. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The world wants to give you marijuana spirituality. God wants to give you Marian spirituality. A few things I want to point out about this.
Sure.
So they're asking, you know, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Yeah.
This is a question that's prompted by the disciples, probably because they've seen that, hey, well, I think Jesus favors Peter because he just gave Peter the keys two chapters before. So they're wondering, maybe this honor of Peter by giving him the keys, is he the greatest or are we the greatest? So there's this discussion amongst them, a little bit of jealousy. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? So he answers the question, none of you guys are the greatest. The one that's the greatest is the one that's like a child. In other words, I want you to totally depend on God. Yep. That's what's required to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's childlike simplicity. That's what I'm demanding of all 12 of you, and you can all be my favorites, okay? And he's also saying that we must leave the church to the apostles. He's telling you guys gotta leave the church with a spirit of servanthood, you know, a spirit of service and humility. And that's why this reading was picked for today's feast day of St. Therese of the Child Jesus.
Jesse, I have 3 points to make on the little flower, because as I said, she's my favorite, so I'm going to take a little time and say, one, she is known to have said that all Catholic priests should be able to study the Bible in the original language, New and Old Testament. People say, what? Yes, that's what she said, so they could better catechize us.
Terry, I don't know, she may be called rigid today, I'm just guessing. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What? The big, yeah. You're rigid.
You're going to make me work. Hey, and number two, Jesse, you remember this story, everybody, I'm sure, about the gentleman that was going to be executed because of capital punishment. He had a terrible crime. And a little flower read about this individual and started making sacrifices and prayers for his conversion because he was an evil man. He was a wicked man. And before he had the guillotine cut his head off, there's always a priest there in France to hear his confession if he wants to go. Well, here's what happened. The man kissed the crucifix before he was executed. The priest gave him absolution, saying that that's a sign of his sorrow for his sinfulness. And here's the question I have, Jess, and you tell me, you're the policeman, brother. You know the mind of criminals. Do you think that dude would have converted maybe 25 years later in prison, having three meals and not having any urgency about his immortality? Give me an answer, Jess. What do you think?
No, Terry, because men like to delay everything. Men are manana guys, especially criminal men. And here's their attitude. Because of the sin of sloth, they'll say, you know what? I'll wait till I'm about to die. I'm old and I'm about to die. Then I'll convert. But right now, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy all the wine, women, and song until that day comes. That's the way the average guy talks, Terry.
I agree with you, brother. That's why I think capital punishment has its place. It's not ruled out, even with Pope Francis's modification. It's still a possibility. And I think that when we look at history and we see the perennial teachings of the church, we see the wisdom in that. Jess, the third point, and I'll throw it back to you, and then we'll have Fulton Sheen. The third point about the little flower that I think is worth listening to is this. In the convent, when you read her autobiography, she had one nun who was a little older than her. And, you know, actually, I'll give you this story. Her superior was bipolar, okay? So her superior one day would be happy, the next day depressed. But we didn't know much about, you know, bipolar problems back then. So the superior would tell the little flower to do, like, for example, you know, go dig this hole. I'm using the analogy. And then after you dig the hole, go fill it back up the next day. And she would obey, even though knowing that her superior was a little, you know, crazy, but she had holy obedience. And so I thought that was, and then she tried to be her, she had one person in the convent who irritated the tar out of her. Okay, do you have anybody who bothers you? I do. I know several people that when they call me, I'm sorry, I get calls, 40, 55, 50 calls a day from listeners because I give my cell phone number out. I'll be honest with you. There's some people, Jesse, that call me and I go, oh my gosh, I got to offer this one up. You do too. No, I'm being honest, bro. That's how it works.
Yeah, but I screen my calls.
Well, I don't. So I talk to everybody. But here's what the little flower said, that she made a conscious effort to have that person who irritates her the most in the convent to become her best friend. What? Are you kidding me? So that person who irritates me, I'm going to try. So what is that message for me who talk to about 40 or 50 people a day? That I have to have patience and love those people, even the ones who ask me the same question six or seven times a week. Okay? So there you go, Jess. Hey, your thoughts.
Let me mention something about St. Therese,
yeah,
something
you,
that I'm very
tough guy. Go ahead, tell me.
Yeah,
I love it.
She was, she followed, at the age of 15, she followed her two older sisters to the Carmel and Lisieux, France. And she died at the age of 24 of tuberculosis. And she always wanted to be a missionary. That was in her heart. But she discovered her work in the convent. She says, my vocation is love. In the heart of the church, my mother, I shall be love. She wrote a book, Terry, called, or a little, a biographical called The Little Way. And this thing has been, it's now known as the autobiography, Story of a Soul.
Yep.
And here's one of my favorite lines from her autobiography. She says this.
Yeah, tell us.
Chapter one. A soul in the state of grace has nothing to fear from demons. Demons are cowards capable of running away from the look of a child. Close quote. That's from her chapter one of the story of a soul. She was also declared co-patron of the missions. And in 1997, guess what? She was given the title Doctor of the Church.
Jesse, how many times did she go out to do missionary work, brother?
Zero, from what I know.
So why did
zero.
They
yeah, she is,
tell us
yeah.
the reason the church gave her as patron?
Patron of missionary and evangelization. And well, last thing I want to say is that she reached a very high degree of holiness, carrying out her ordinary daily duties with perfect fidelity. That's what it means. Anytime we say, you know, carry out your duties within your state in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, carry them with charity and faith and hope and love. That's how you become holy. You can become holy being a janitor.
Yep.
You can become holy being a cook at McDonald's. It's carrying out your state in life, but doing it with fidelity and with charity.
Jesse, the last thing I want to say about the little flower, she had the five sisters. One of the five sisters was very rebellious. The other four went into the convent. And this other sister, she just was like, man, this is hard for me to swallow because I like to do it my way. But guess what, Jesse? She's the only one that's caused, other than a little flower, up for canonization. You know why, Jess? Because she overcame her deficiencies and she ended up going into the convent of the Poor Clares and became a very saintly nun, even though she had a lot of natural, let's say, obstacles in her life. So I thought that was interesting.
Wow. Terry, here's a bit of good news real quick.
I love good news.
Here's a, this is an interesting. Yeah. Out of Steubenville, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
The students are clamoring for the Latin Mass.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a whole movement of students that are asking for the Latin Mass to be brought into Steubenville.
Sure.
And in fact, at the University of Steubenville, Ohio, recently they had the largest attended traditional Latin Mass on campus since 2007. It was September 22nd. It filled Christ the King Chapel. It broke records with 436 students. That was the official chapel count, making this the largest attended Latin Mass since the publication of Summorum Pontificum in 2007 in the United States, Terry.
Wow, that's great news.
So the youth of today are seen to becoming more and more Orthodox over the country.
That's a big movement. Why? Okay, when we come back, I'm going to give you what Bishop Sheen says about peace of soul. And then we're going to talk about a film of Cardinal Mueller that's just coming out today. You're listening, what? To Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess and I would be billionaires because we know the end of the story. We win. So get yourself a cup of coffee on our break or some tea because I want to give you what Bishop Sheen has to say about peace of soul. Be right back. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Let's embrace the motto of St. Teresa of Lisieux. She says, let me spend my heaven doing good on earth. That's what we want to do at VMP.org.
You got it, Jess. Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the... Oh, there it is. Full Sheen ahead here at the Virgin Most Powerful. Peace of Soul. Bishop Sheen wrote a whole book, classic book on peace of soul. If I can summarize it, he says, there is a world of difference between the peace of mind and peace of soul. The peaceful soul does not seek now to live morally, but to live for God. Morality is only a byproduct of the union with Him. So, Jess, here's the bottom line, brother. When you live a Christ-centered life and you're giving your life to Christ and you're living close to the sacraments, you're living a moral life. Why? Because you don't want to do anything that's going to offend divine providence. And so when you have a world that's living immorally, they're not living close to God. They're living for themselves. It's me, myself, and I. So I think peace of soul, I would recommend as your spiritual fitness trainer, go ahead and get a copy of Bishop Sheen's Peace of Soul, because that's a classic book everybody should have.
It's a thin read, too. It's not thick.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not.
You could take it down quick.
Right.
Hey, have you heard about the film of Cardinal Mueller's Manifesto of Faith?
Tell us.
It's going to premiere worldwide October 1st.
Yeah, today.
In case you don't know who he is, he's the German Cardinal Gerhard Ludwig Mueller, who used to be the prefect for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. He was relieved of his duties. He reported he was on duty. He was reporting for duty, but he was dismissed of his duties by Pope Francis.
Yep.
And so he put out a Manifesto of Faith. And so this film is dramatizing Cardinal Gerhard Mueller's Manifesto of Faith. It's going to be a premiering worldwide October 1st. And the people that are putting out this movie, Arcadia Films, they're the ones that put out the movie A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
Oh, you got to see that one.
It's the same serious Catholics that put out that movie A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing. So Arcadia Films is another good Catholic production company. And this is going to be a 22-minute cinematic presentation on Cardinal Mueller's February 2009 manifesto that some people say that it reads like a quasi-correction of many of the doctrinal errors that surround the pontificate of Pope Francis. And again, Cardinal Mueller was the head of the Vatican's doctrinal office until Pope Francis removed him in 2017 for no apparent reason. And the cardinal said that he wrote the manifesto in the face of a growing confusion within Holy Mother Church. He says this: in the face of growing confusion about the doctrine of the faith, many bishops, priests, religious, and lay people of the Catholic Church have requested that I make a public testimony about the truth of Revelation. And so that's the introduction to the text, Terry.
And Jesse, Archbishop Vigano is the man who's giving the inspiration to other bishops and cardinals to speak out. Without him, he's the John the Baptist of our church today. Here's what Bishop Athanasius Schneider says about the movie, The Manifesto. He said, it's necessary and very timely initiative, edifying the faith and bringing light in the enormous spiritual confusion which can bring to the faithful consolation and encouragement. We need that. Jess, I'm just going to give a comment about Cardinal Mueller. I don't know about you, but I had the opportunity to meet him at Mundelein about 5 years ago, three years ago, okay? I was at a board meeting out there for Lighthouse, and he was at the lunchroom. And I said, hey, I think that's Cardinal Mueller because there's 200 or 300 priests in this lunchroom. So, being bashful, I went over and shook his hand, okay? Shook his hand, said, thank you for being the gatekeeper for what, for being on the doctrine of faith. And so he was gracious with me, but he doesn't know me from Adam. Well, Ralph Martin was with me and he goes, I'm going to go talk to him. He knows me from previous things. So Ralph Martin spends about 10 minutes with him privately talking with him, and I'm watching, but I can't hear what's going on. So I said, hey, Ralph, on the way to the airport, what was Cardinal Mueller telling you about? He says, well, he was saying that he's frustrated as the prefect for the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith because he would send things to Pope Francis's office and, making comments about certain things, and he would never get a response. And normally with Benedict and other popes, they look at that congregation, so they'll send you a paper and say, hey, what do you think of this for doctrinal purity? And he said, I never got one thing from Pope Francis. And he said, I just felt like I'm not even doing my job because they're not giving me any work to do. So he was frustrated at that time. So why do I say that? Because it wasn't long after that his exit interview with Pope Francis, saying your services are no longer needed. So I only say that because he's a man who understands that the value of doctrinal purity, and his heart is going out, just like Vigano saying, look, I don't want to meet God knowing that I didn't do my duty in proclaiming the fullness of Jesus Christ and his teachings, for the perennial teachings of the church. So Cardinal Mueller, in my opinion, Jess, is a man's man for me. The guy's about 6'4", and man, when he stood up, and I'm 5'4", he looked down at me and said, who is this guy? And I'm saying, gosh, thank you so much for what you do for Holy Mother of the Church. Well, some people don't appreciate what he does. I sure do.
Terry, the manifesto, this movie that's going to come out October 1st, Manifesto of Faith, October 1st at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Coast Time.
Yeah.
It's manifesto.com.
Right.
Manifestoofaith.com. Manifestoofaith.com. Some of the things that are going to be pointed out in this movie by Cardinal Mueller is that he says that, first of all, that Jesus is first and foremost the Word that was with God and is God, the Son of the Father, who assumed our human nature to redeem us. He's not merely a good person. He's not merely a brother, a friend, a prophet, and a moralist. And he's not merely, one of the ways to salvation. Or the preferred way. No, none of that stuff is going to be taught. Cardinal Mueller's teaching, the perennial teachings of the church, he's the only way to heaven. Another bolt that's going to be taught in this movie that's going to be emphasized is that Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church as a visible sign, an instrument of salvation, and that's realized only in and through the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Another bullet is that the church is the universal sacrament of salvation in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the church is his bride and his body. And finally, the movie that Cardinal Mueller is going to make very very strong, this fourth appeal or this fourth teaching, is that he who dies in mortal sin without repentance will forever be separated from God in hell, which is something very unpopular to say today.
Everything you just said, Jesse, is fundamental to the Catholic faith. We've been teaching this since day one, every single thing. I just want to bring up what Bishop Athanasius told us here on Virgin Most Powerful when he met the Holy Father in his ad liminal visit. Every 5 years, bishops go to visit. And you remember, Bishop, you remember the story where the Holy Father talked about that the Catholic Church, you know, that other religions are willed by God. And Bishop Athanasius Snyder asked the Holy Father in all humility that, did you mean that all religions, God permits other religions, but he doesn't actually will them? It's his permitted will. He's permissive will. And the Holy Father says, yeah, that's what I meant. So the Bishop Athanasius said, well, would you please tell everybody? Because that's not what they got. And rather than saying, yeah, for clarity purposes, as the vicar of Christ, the man who's the unifier, I'm going to say that this is what I meant so there's no confusion. But what does he say? You say it to Bishop. You, Bishop Athanasius, you could tell them. See, that to me, Jesse, is a problem. We need clarity. We don't need more confusion. And I think these bishops and cardinals are coming out, not just Mueller, another one out in Denver, Colorado, came out and talked about these problems of ambiguity, that it's ruining the church. And I think right now, more people are being, I'll use the term red-pilled, like saying, you know what, we've got to speak up, because Jess, when we go to our exit interview, and guess what, Jess, you and I are going soon. We're rounding third base.
We're on third base, easy.
Yes.
Easy.
And so do we really want to meet Jesus Christ and say to him, well, Jesus, I didn't want to speak up because I didn't want to offend anybody, but I didn't speak up, offended many souls from going to heaven because the truth wasn't proclaimed to them in the fullness. I'd say, I'm going to speak up.
Terry, in other words, these people are saying, a lot of people in our church are going to see Jesus, and they're going to say implicitly,
yeah,
I'd rather offend you than offend other people. That's what
very sad.
That's exactly what's happening. I'd rather offend you, Lord, than offend other people. Terry, and I'll tell you something.
Tell me, brother.
It rubs me the wrong
way.
What's
that?
As a lay Catholic who loves the church, loves the Pope, and loves our clergy, is that, you know, every 5 years, bishops from different parts of the country had these called ad limina visits with the Pope, whatever Pope is in office. And it's something that it's the bishops talk to the Pope about certain things that
the
are happening.
The condition of their diocese,
In their diocese and trying to, you know, get, of course, the office of the papacy is to confirm the brethren in their
faith.
Well, Father James Martin was at an Ad Limina visit
yesterday,
this week,
with
several bishops.
30 minutes with the bishop.
From which country? Now, number one, Terry, he's not a bishop.
No.
So why would a Catholic priest,
who's a dissenter,
not a bishop, who's a dissident, and teaches heresy,
that's correct,
why does he get a 30-minute private visit, not even in a meeting with a private visit with the Pope? And the Pope refuses to see brother cardinals like Burke and others, the four dubia cardinals.
Yeah.
These are his equals.
Yeah.
These are bishops, and these are his advisors.
Cardinals
it would
are
be
advisors.
Like President Trump saying, well, I don't want to meet with my Secretary of State, Secretary of Education. Are you kidding? Those are his advisors. Why would he meet with a lowly Catholic priest from the U.S. who writes a liberal magazine and promotes dissent, meet with him, but not meet with four cardinals who are his advisors? Terry, that sits wrong with me.
Not only that, Jesse, but he sits also, Father Martin sits on a Vatican thing on the family. He's one of the members promoting the family life. And hey, let's just face it, he's a man who wants to have homosexuality
legalized. He wants to change
legalized.
The structure of the family.
Yeah, so that, yeah, he does. He wants to make it so that it's legitimate expression of sexuality for homosexuality, which is totally against what the church teaches. That, to me, is even more of a problem. So I pray, Jesse. That's why every night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we've got the nine-day novena. We're praying for the Holy Father, for the bishops, for the Senate on the Amazon. Why are we making sacrifices? Why are we fasting? Why are we doing all this? Because we love Holy Mother of the Church. And you know what, Jess? I would rather not have to talk about the problems in the church right now. But you know what, brother? I feel compelled to give what the church has always taught, because I see the confusion is so large that we need to go back to the basics right now.
And confusion comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God.
That's a fact.
So if you want to get on board with this, go to manifestooffaith.com. And October 12th, at different times in the East Coast and in the West Coast, we're going to be able to watch this award-winning film. It's going to present Cardinal Gerhard Mueller in his magnificent presentation, where he's going to unconfuse people, giving us the eternal truths of the Catholic faith. And we expect to reach a wide audience as a result of this. It's only 22 minutes long. It's basically a faith lift. That's what it is. And Cardinal Mueller is a former prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He was fired because of his fidelity to the Catholic Church. And these guys that are putting this movie on, these guys are good guys, good Catholics. They're the ones that put on a woven sheath clothing, so these guys can be trusted.
When we come back, we'll talk about Archbishop Vigano, the John the Baptist of the church today.
We have an exciting story for you to listen to, the story of John Pridmore. John Pridmore was a hitman for the gangs in East London.
I met some guys who seemed to have everything that I thought would make you happy. So I started working for these people. So to my shame, I was involved in vicious crime of all sorts.
He collected debts for the gangs, and if people didn't pay their debts, it was his job to kill them.
And as I drove home that night, I thought, what have I become that I could kill someone and not even care?
He was in the elevator on his way up to the 17th floor, and there was a 17-year-old young man in the elevator with him. Suddenly, this young man looked John right in the eye, and he said, "Jesus loves you."
And I said the first prayer I'd ever said. I said, "Up to now, all I've done is take from you, God. Now I want to give."
Within a year, by the grace of God, John was able to get out of the gang and be freed from this road to hell that he had been walking on. Go to Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel and listen to this story today.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
John the Baptist lives amongst us, or Jonah the prophet lives amongst us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who is that? It's a guy by the name of Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. A lot of us believe he's there, and there's Terry holding up the book.
Sorry.
A lot of us believe he's our John the Baptist and Jonah the prophet all wrapped in one.
Yep.
There's Terry's got a book there. What's it called, Terry? The title. Give him the title.
Vigano versus the Vatican: The Uncensored Testimony of the Italian Journalist who helped break the story. Now, Jesse, I just have to say this, and I just want to bring this up because I love Pope Francis. He's my papa. But you know what, Jess? I've said this analogy for years about my dad. If my dad was doing something that undermined the faith and the family, I'd say, Dad, knock it off, if he was bringing porn in or something like that, because I love my dad. So when I'm criticizing the Holy Father for doing certain things, it's not because I don't like him. I love him, but I'm worried about the salvation of souls. For example, Jesse, in this book, you remember when Vigano broke the silence, he said, I can't do it anymore. I have to speak my mind because I'm going to be meeting God soon.
He said, I'm an old man.
He says, yes, it's the most painful and serious decision that I've ever taken in my entire life. I made it long after reflections of prayer during months of profound suffering and anguish. Okay, so here's what he said regarding this issue. Some people have attacked him regarding breaking the seal that diplomats have, Jesse. They say that as a diplomat, you can't tell this information to anybody. Well, here's his answer to that. And he points out the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2491, it's the seal of a secret is not binding when keeping a secret causes very serious damage that may be avoided only by divulging the truth. He says only the seal of confession would have been able to justify my silence. So all this information, he didn't get into the confessional. He got it as a diplomat. So neither the Pope nor any of the cardinals in Rome have denied the facts that Archbishop Vigano has affirmed in his testimony. Check this out. He says silence implies consent. Surely this applies in this case, because if they wanted to deny my testimony, all they have to do was to say so and produce the documents in support of the denial. How is this possible not to conclude that the reason they have not produced any documents is because they know the documents confirm my testimony? And Jesse, this whole book is put out by Sophia Press. They call it the Crisis Publications. It's the same one Dr. Marshall's book was published under. So you can get it from Sophia. But here's the big point, Jesse. And Vigano has made these statements, and I'm just asking the Holy Father to say what Vigano said. He said, under the testimony, I'm telling you the truth. Holy Father, tell me what you knew about McCormick and say, this is what I knew, and this is the truth.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. And we have a right to know this, because you know what, Jess? I think what the reason is why there's silence in the Vatican is because all the guys that are going to be exposed as homosexual prelates are going to come out, and they're going to have to pay a terrible price. And so if we don't say anything and keep it quiet, we'll have business as usual. But you know what? We can't have that, Jess.
And if they're not homosexual prelates actively, they're homosexual sympathizers, which means they hide them, they shuffle them around, and they try to obfuscate the crisis in the church by saying, oh, pedophilia, pedophilia, pedophilia. Terry, Crisis Magazine, they have this article that also have here.
Yep.
Where the historian, very respected historian, Robert DeMattei, he says that Father Rahner, who was one of the Vatican experts, theological experts at Vatican II, he goes, he's the Pope's grandfather. He says he argues that the two Jesuits, Father Rahner and Father Mario Bergoglio, now the Pope, are linked through a third cardinal. His name is Carlo Martini, who's the leader of the St. Gallen Mafia, and he's Pope Francis's spiritual father. The article of Crisis says the agenda of Cardinal Martini, which is the same as Father Rahner, the modernist from Vatican II,
right, the connection,
offers us the key to understanding the papacy of Pope Francis. This great historian, Demetei, he points to the Cardinal's fiery last interview, Cardinal Martini's last interview, calling for the autonomy, or what we would call the primacy of conscience and communion for adulterers. So this guy is the spiritual father of Pope Francis, and Karl Rahner is the spiritual grandfather of Pope Francis. Last thing the article says here, today the St. Gallen Mafia, Don Walter, Cardinal Casper, and others are euphemizing Pope Francis' ruptures with the past as a glittery paradigm shift. That's what the German liberals are calling it, a paradigm shift in Catholicism. But Archbishop Vigano says that this exotic, these sophisticated slogans are just being used to mislead and to deceive the faithful.
Jesse, also in this book, the Vigano versus the Vatican from Marco Tessia, he's the journalist who broke the news. He says there's more cover-up than McCarrick does not seem to have been an isolated part of the Pope. Many other cases have recently been documented by the press demonstrating that Pope Francis has defended homosexual priests who have committed serious sexual abuse against minors and adults. It hurts me to have to say this, Jess. This includes, we talked about this, the role of Father Giulio Grassi in Buenos Aires. His reinstatement of Father Mario Azilla after Pope Benedict had removed him from his priestly ministry up until the moment he was put in jail. Okay, these are just the facts. And then at that point, Pope Francis reduced him to the lay state. And are you ready for this? Putting him to the end of the investigation against Cardinal Murphy O'Connor for accusations of sexual abuse. But Jesse, I have to give credit to our bishops in America because the delegation from the Bishops' Conference in America, led by Cardinal De Niro, went to Rome and asked the Vatican investigation of McCarrick and other prelates to say to the world, did the Pope refuse to perform an investigation in the Vatican about the crimes of McCarrick and those responsible for having covered up them? The faithful have a right to know. And, you know, that's all I'm asking, Jesse. Full disclosure. We talk about transparency. You know what, Jess? I'm just a Joe Sixpack. But I believe that Holy Mother, the Church, should tell us exactly what they knew and what they didn't know, because I think that that's how we're going to clear up this mess, is with being very frank and loving and truthful. So my question to the Holy Father and to those prelates is, what did they know? Who was connected with McCarrick? Because McCarrick had his tentacles all through the church for years. And we need know who these guys are so that we can ask them to repent and return to Christ. Because they're not living a Christ-centered life when you're living a life of debauchery. And that's what McCormick was living.
That's right. For all of our listeners out there in Massachusetts and Santa Maria, I'm going to be in Massachusetts, Lowell, Massachusetts, this Saturday.
You're amazing.
All day. It's called the Hope Conference.
Good. So
I'd like to see all of our Virgin Most Powerful Radio listeners from Massachusetts and their surrounding areas, Lowell, Massachusetts. I'll be there this Saturday trying to gin up some more support for our little radio network. And also next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, I'll be doing an English and Spanish parish mission at Santa Maria, California. So for all our listeners out there in Santa Maria, California, I'd love to meet you. I'll be out there next Tuesday and Wednesday, get the word out, and I'll try to gin up some more customers as I go out there and give a parish mission next Tuesday and Wednesday, October 8th and 9th in Santa Maria.
Is that going to be at St. Louis de Montfort's parish, Jesse?
Yes, sir, Terry.
Yeah, that's the one we always go to. Folks, if you're there, it's a great parish. You need to get out there and see Jess, especially the people in Central California. I've been there many, many times. Jess,
Terry,
go ahead.
Crisis Magazine says that right now what we have is the modernists in the church.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to describe it.
Oh, that's who they are.
Yeah. He says they have the article says they have a slick media machinery, including photos of Pope Francis with Pope Emeritus Benedict and so forth. And they're trying to act like if they have the same style and the same mode of teaching, the same doctrinal bent. And so they're trying to say it's the same papacy, guys. And so the article says that they're using this to argue that the new paradigm shift of Pope Francis is guys, there's nothing there. It's really in continuity with the teaching of the last two popes. But guess what? The article says this is not so. Crisis Magazine says they're trying to start a new church.
And that's why we, if you sounds like we're getting, we're sounding the alarm. You know why we're sounding the alarm? Because we love truth. Why do you think Jess Romero is running from one coast to the other almost every weekend? I don't know too many guys that can do that. You realize the demand that that's put on this knucklehead? Yeah, but you know what? He's compelled to proclaim the Christ teachings to anyone who will listen to him. Why? Because he believes everything the church has taught, A to Z, nothing. If the church has taught something, Jess Romero, myself, we embrace that, okay? So when we see error, and let's just be honest with you, moral relativism is an error to say that, oh, well, here's what's happened, like Amani Vitae, about birth control. Oh, well, you know, what we have to do is have a pastoral approach. That's a bunch of, you know what, baloney when they come up with a pastoral approach. You know what they're saying when you hear this? That ring bells. It says, no. What they're saying is, do what you want to do, buddy. And you see, that's just plain wrong. And here's my point. If my brother, if Jesse Romero was preaching like that message right there, I'd call him right out on the air or on the radio. I would say, Jess, hey, brother, you're wrong. You can't be just thinking that it's your opinion on it. You know, we got to go with what Holy Mother, the church, is teaching. And you see, that's all we're asking. Do you think it's painful for us to have to say all this? Heck yeah. We love Holy Mother, the church. We love the Pope. We love our bishops. But when the Holy Father is being ambiguous and not proclaiming the fullness of the truth and in the unity as the unifier, we got to say, Dad, Papa, stop it. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the article says that Pope Benedict VI, in a letter that he wrote, Pope Emeritus, in a letter that he wrote this year on the sexual crisis, he said that to make a new church, he said, would be a catastrophe. And so Pope Benedict Emeritus charges that a revolutionary spirit from the world has entered the Catholic Church in the 60s. Possessed by that spirit, arrogant theologians determined on crafting another church have destroyed the traditional moral theology of the faith, leading to a complete breakdown of moral discipline in the clergy and even a generalized spirit of blasphemy. And that's from Pope Benedict.
When we come back, what does Cardinal Burke have to say? Wow, strong language from Cardinal Burke. We'll be back with more on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. A very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Did you know that Cardinal Raymond Burke has said that the upcoming Amazon Synod is an apostasy, and it's an attack on Christ's lordship? Yep. Cardinal Raymond Burke is calling out the German bishops as the masterminds behind the Amazon Synod. And in an interview with Sohrab Ahmari, who's the editor of Catholic Herald, Cardinal Burke, he addressed the upcoming special assembly of the Synod of the Bishops for the Pan-Amazonian region and the upcoming German Synod. He slammed the Amazon Synod's working document. He says, it's a direct attack on the lordship of Christ.
Yep.
It says to people, you already have the answers, and Christ is just one of many sources of answers. Cardinal Burke says, this is plain and simple apostasy. He also called out the way the German bishops were using the synod as an opportunity to pervert church doctrine. Yes, pervert church doctrine. Raymond Burke said, the fundamental concept of a synod was to call together representatives of the clergy and the lay people to see how the church could more effectively teach and more effectively apply her discipline. He says, synods never had anything to do with changing doctrine or with changing discipline. And Cardinal Burke went on to say it was all meant to be a way of furthering the mission of the church. And Cardinal Burke has called out Germany's Bishop Franz Joseph Overbeck, who proclaimed in June that the synod will bring the church to a point of no return, after which nothing will be the same. So you have German bishops that are saying, yep, we're going to take the church to a point of no return and nothing will be the same.
That's right.
The German bishops are planning their own synod.
Yep.
And according to draft statutes passed last month, the bishops will address the authority and separation of powers, sexual morality and priestly mode of life, and women at the service of ecclesiastical offices. One bit of good news, I don't know if it's just smoke and mirrors, but the Vatican is objected to the synod. So that's good
that's
news
good,
the
yeah,
German
they,
synod.
They don't, but they don't but care.
I just hope it's not smoke and mirrors. You know, the Vatican is warning that the synodal way of the Catholic Church in Germany is not valid ecclesiology in its current design. And Cardinal Reinhard Marx, head of the German Bishops' Conference and the Archbishop of Munich, he's saying full steam ahead. I'm going to go ahead with this German synod, and I'm going to call it doctrinally binding. Terry?
Jesse, here's the analogy I have on that. You've got six kids, right? And one of your kids is rebellious and says, Mom and Dad, the heck with it. I'm going to go smoke dope. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have illicit sex. I'm going to go ahead and just change the game. And Mom and Dad say, okay, God bless you. But then that affects the other kids, doesn't it? And you see,
we're going to say, hey, how come Johnny gets away with this?
Exactly.
What about us?
So here's the point why Jesse and I are a little bit hard on the church in the sense of letting these ambiguities go by, because it will affect the body. And then people are being taught things that aren't what the church and what Christ has taught for the millennial. Just go back to the perennial teachings of the church. And you know what, Jesse? This article also says that synods never had anything to do with changing doctrine or with changing discipline. It was all meant to be a way of furthering the mission of the church. And what's happened, Jesse, is we've missed that point. And matter of fact, one of our listeners yesterday sent me an audio clip about you, Jesse, and about us on our show yesterday, because we've been talking quite frank. So I'm going to let him speak right now. I'll play this clip, Mr. Engineer. This was yesterday's show.
The only way to describe today's show is he hit it high. He hit it deep. It is out of here.
All right. Well, I play that to amuse you. It made me laugh. But you see, Jesse, what we're doing. What do you mean we hit it high? But because we're not just being silent about this. We're speaking up with the truth. And people like Kenny, who just sent me that, is going, it's refreshing to hear somebody say, wait a minute, you know, the emperor doesn't have clothes on. Let's get this right. And so I appreciate prelates like Cardinal Burke, who's calling it out and saying, here it is. This is what's going on. And we have to speak up for the truth. And Jess, that's why Virgin Most Powerful Radio started almost 2 years ago. Let me just make this pitch and then we'll get to the five stones too. And that is, you, our supporters, are making it available for us to speak like this all through the world, through our app and through the internet and through many stations. So I want to thank all you monthly donors. I just did the close of the month. This is October 1st, and we're picking up new donors each month. Why? Because people appreciate us speaking the truth in charity. That's our motto here at Virgin Most Powerful. You want to be a member of our family and you want to be a monthly donor, call me at 661-972-7872. I just have to thank our listeners. Kenny is one of them who's a monthly donor. And he just sent me that saying, you guys are hitting the ball out of the park. What does he mean by that? We're speaking the truth in charity.
By the way, I'm going to be going to Poland to recharge my batteries from...
That's a good place to get them charged.
Yeah, I mean, all of us need to get our batteries recharged. Terry, myself.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be going on May 13th to the 22nd. 9-day trip. It's going to be the birthday of St. John Paul II. It would have been his 100-year birthday.
Yeah.
Had he been alive. But he's in heaven now, so he can care less about having a birthday here. So if you want to go, just go to my website, download the... We're going to have... there's a young Catholic priest that's coming. I met him in Northern California. Again, these young Catholic priests are amazing. The guys that are coming out, wearing cassocks, learning the Latin Mass. If you want a 9 days of a life-changing... I'm doing so much study on Poland and its saints and communism and Nazism. I'm going to give you a complete Christian teaching on why this is probably one of the greatest countries. And if it wasn't for Poland, all of Europe would have been Islamicized.
Exactly.
Back at Lepanto, because Poland entered the battle and at the Battle of Vienna, Austria.
Yep.
Poland entered the battle and drove out Islam. So again, I'm pretty excited to go back to this country, to go there for the first time and see one of the greatest Catholic countries in my lifetime. Terry, but going back to what we're talking about today, Cardinal Raymond Burke, he's another John the Baptist. Yeah. He's another Jonah the prophet. He said this to he addressed the German Synod. He said this: the German bishops believe that they can now define doctrine. This is false.
He says,
as far as I'm concerned, the synodal way in Germany needs to be stopped before greater harm is done to the faithful.
Man.
They've already begun this, and they insist that it can't be stopped. But we're talking about the salvation of souls.
Amen.
Which means we need to take whatever measure is necessary to stop this German, you know, runaway train.
Yep.
And the article says that the Catholicity of the church is exactly what's at risk. The Catholic Church is a church that has one faith, one sacramental system, and one discipline throughout the whole world. And therefore, we've never thought that each part of the world would define the church according to particular cultures. And that's exactly what the Germans want to do using the Amazonian Synod. That's what they want to do, Terry. They want to use this local little synod to make something universal.
You got it. And Jesse, we've talked about the problems. Now we come every day here at Virgin Most Powerful. What distinguishes us from a lot of folks is we constantly give you the solution to the problem, which is liberalism, okay? The problem of compromise. What do? We call it the five stones. Jess, let's share those five stones.
Yeah, before I share the five stone, I just want to just mention one thing that it breaks my heart that we'll go right into the five stone.
Yeah.
Is and I can't understand this.
Yeah, what is that?
But during a visit with the African Jesuits in Africa, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, he said that young priests in traditional dress are harboring moral problems.
Really?
So he's saying that young Catholic priests that have the black cassocks and that wear hats in the shape of a planet. It's called a Saturno, by the way.
Yeah.
He says they have moral problems. And he says this is rigid clericalism. There are serious problems. So that's why we're giving you the five stones, because we've got problems in the highest places in the church. And the solution is what we're going to be mentioning at the end of every show. The solution is what? Again, got to wake up. You got to live in a state of grace.
Amen.
Okay. You can't be living in mortal sin, because if you're in mortal sin, you're Your prayers are worthless, worthless. And then we have to pick up what I would call the five stones of David. Okay? David killed Goliath. He used five stones. What are the five stones for the Catholics? Because we are fighting a culture of death that's Goliath-like.
Right.
And we're also fighting barbarians that have entered into the Catholic Church. Yep. They're not outside the gates. They're inside.
That's right.
The five stones that we got to use today as Catholics, for those of you VMP devotees, number one, pray the rosary every day. Okay? No excuses. Don't say, oh, I'm tired. Nope. Pray the rosary every day. Oh, I'm busy. Nope. We don't want to hear that. Pray the rosary every day. Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. For sure every Sunday without fail. For sure every Sunday without fail and the days of obligation. But go as often as possible to Mass during the week. And if you can't go to Mass, pay visits to the Blessed Sacrament.
Man.
Or sign up at your parish. Say, you know what, I'm doing a holy hour every week. That's simple. Number third stone, read the Bible every day. Read the Bible every day. The Mass readings. Why? So you can form your moral conscience so you won't be a liberal. Why? What do liberals have? Primacy of conscience. Autonomy of conscience. You don't want to be a liberal, okay? You want to be a good, solid, Orthodox, traditional Catholic with a formed conscience. How do you form your conscience? The Word of God. Read your Bible, the Mass readings every day. Number four, Fridays, days of penance. Fast on Fridays. Be penitential on Friday, okay? Even you could even throw, even if it's not Lent, say, hey, on Fridays, I'm not eating meat. I'm not only going to fast and I'm going to abstain. So let's go back. Let's go old school Catholicism here.
Got it.
The code of canon law says we're called to do penance on Fridays. Do something penitential every single Friday for Holy Mother Church. And finally, minimum monthly confession. Did you hear that? That's the fifth stone. Minimum monthly confession. If all Catholics do these five stones, you're going to live in a state of grace. You won't live in mortal sin. And your holiness moves the needle. It affects Holy Mother Church. Your sins and your lukewarmness, it moves the needle to the left, Holy Mother Church. And it affects Holy Mother Church in a negative way. Terry.
Do you notice what we just did? We gave you the solution to the problem. That's why mom, dad, the kids, we can all pray. Remember what Our Lady of Fatima said. Four souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. Let's implement the Fatima plan. Jesse, I'll just mention, when we come back, we're going to have the Bible with the Barbers. There's a question that came up about free will. You're going to want to hear this one when we come back with the Bible with the Barbers. Jess, final statement. What state should we be living in, brother?
I'll say it till the day I drop dead. State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. The last thing you want is to be a Catholic and end up in hell. Okay? I've read from the saints that the people that are tortured the worst in hell are Catholics. Why? Because we had the fullness of faith.
You got it.
And guess what? In heaven, you can reach the highest places in heaven. But why? Because you're a Catholic and you have the fullness of truth and the fullness of faith. So you can be a super saint in this lifetime. Be a super saint. There's nothing else to do. Don't waste your time in anything else.
You got it. We're going to do the Bible with the Barbers when we come back. And on Friday, we're going to do a show on the Holy Eucharist to try and encourage more people to have a stronger belief in Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. Here at Virgin Most Powerful, we're majoring on the fundamentals of the faith. Thanks again, and full sheen ahead.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.